EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. How have you all been? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. We are starting off with Darren in Lancashire in the UK. And Darren will be sharing a couple of his UFO sightings and a ghostly apparition of a monk by the side of the road. Then we move on to Dante in Oklahoma in the United States to hear about his witnessing of a UFO for the first time. Prior to this experience, he was skeptical of the whole idea. In the following days and months, he continued to see several UFOs he couldn't explain. The whole experience inspired him to begin composing some songs about these events and other famous encounters with his band Dante and the Bird Dogs. Darren is up next.
But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show.
Hello, Darren. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Nick.
Thank you for coming on today, and you're called in from the UK.
I am, yes.
Now, Darren, you have some strange experiences to share. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
First, I'd like to say I've heard some incredible stories on your podcast, some of which I'd like to experience, others not so much. But yeah, I've got three stories, basically. Well, three events. They happened, I think, around 2009. They was in my hometown at the time of Tunbridge in Kent. I'm going to say it was around November time, but my girlfriend and I at the time, we were driving back to her house along Shibben Road, which is in North Tunbridge. Just so happened to look up at the time and we saw three lights in the sky. Now, obviously, that doesn't sound too abnormal, but what was weird about them were their color. They were sort of an amber orange light color in a triangle formation. I'd say they were quite far away. But these things normally are, aren't they? There was no flashing beacons, like a plane, not really moving at first for quite a while. But we stopped the car. I said to my girlfriend, "This is a bit odd. Let's have a little look at this." And we're glancing up at these lights in the sky, trying to work out what they are. And they just didn't move. They wasn't moving. They wasn't moving like planes. There was no sound. The color striked us the most, really. It was just a normal plane you'd see, like a clear white light, but these were something very odd about them. So we were standing there for about 10 minutes trying to work out what these were, coming up with explanations like Chinese lanterns, helicopters. We're trying to rack our brains as to what they might be. And then out of nowhere, the two top of the formation, the triangle formation, two top lights slowly kind of merged towards each other, and they merged together. So then we're looking at each other thinking, this is weird. What if they were Chinese lanterns, they'd have surely fallen out of the sky by now. So we're now then looking at two amber lights in the sky because the top two have joined together. The top singular light now moved towards the west fairly slowly, not zipping off or anything, but and that just struck us like, what is going on? But the bottom of the triangle formation, the light of the bottom triangle formation just sort of slowly descended towards the treetop level and just disappeared behind the houses, which was weird. And we were sat there in amazement. We just couldn't work out what it was. So obviously we got back in the car, went back to her mum and dad's house, and had the conversation with them. Instantly they're bringing up the same things we were. Oh, there must have been planes, there must have been helicopters, and they also brought up Chinese lanterns. But I think after that, it was I was heavily trying to work out what it was and got really into the subject. 2 weeks after this event, we were traveling along the same stretch of road. It had been snowing because we were walking, so it had been snowing. Couldn't drive anywhere because my girlfriend at the time had just passed the test. And strangely enough, in the same location to where we saw these three lights over the other side of the road, we then saw what I can only describe of is was a ball of fire. It sounds crazy me saying this, but it was a ball of fire, and it was traveling horizontally in the direction of a village called Shibben, which is a little village, so I'd say northeast of Tunbridge. And I'm going to say it was traveling about 40, 50 mile an hour, something like that, because it was catching up or running parallel alongside the cars that were doing the same speed along that stretch of road. Now, I did manage to get this on camera. I still got to dig it out. It's on a hard drive somewhere. It was recorded on an old camera phone. But you can, if I remember rightly, you can actually hear that it sounds like a ball of fire. I think the audio is probably more interesting than the visual. But yeah, that was very strange. More to say about that one apart from its oddness. And then, strangely enough, on the following year, August, we'd gone to, this is completely not UFO related, but again, it was a very strange happening. We were traveling back from a village called Hawkhurst in the southeast. We'd just gone to a 50th birthday party quite late at night. We just packed up all the chairs and tables from the hall where we just had this party. And we traveled back to Tunbridge with my girlfriend at the time, same person. And we were in the car. I couldn't drive at the time. She was driving. And the stretch of road between Hawkhurst and a place called Flimwell, there's what I can only describe as like a manor on the left-hand side as you're traveling towards Tunbridge. It's got like an old stone wall. And then on the right-hand side of that is like a farmer's field with an entrance to a gate, like a big farmer's gate. And as we're traveling along, the headlights get to this gate, and out of the corner of my eye, standing within this gate, is a figure which I can only describe as looks like a monk. Now, it was one of those moments where you see it and then you have to look again, and it was there. And I remember as the car was traveling past, I'd quickly turn my head to see if I could see it again, and it was gone. But I think it might have been either covered by a tree or I'm not sure, but I couldn't see it. I didn't mention it to my girlfriend at the time because she was quite sensitive to that kind of thing, but and I don't think I ever did mention it to her. But yeah, I think a part of me is I always try to come up with a logical explanation as to what I'd seen. I guess there's always a possibility that someone may have been dressed up as a monk and standing on the side of the road to freak people out. But I don't know why you'd be doing that 10 o'clock at night in a country road. I'm not sure. But yeah. Yeah, so they are my three main events that have happened.
Good stuff, Darren. Strange lights and ghostly figures.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? It's mad to talk about it, but it is what you see. I know I try and, again, like the lights I saw, trying to kind of come up with logical explanations like Chinese lanterns, but that what I've seen, I just can't imagine them being Chinese lanterns. Yeah, very odd.
It's the behavior, isn't it? You know, people would see these lights, amber lights, and they're, you know, they automatically think Chinese lanterns, but then, you know, they would start to behave in a very different way than what we'd expect lanterns to behave in.
Yeah. I mean, again, I've thought about it over time and time again, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe the wind, if they were Chinese lanterns, the wind's blowing them in a direction, but the two of them joined together, which was very odd, and I can't imagine it being too great for the Chinese lanterns had they joined together. I've seen them and they would have surely just fallen to the ground. But for them to stay the same like light density or the same sort of color, I think it cancels that out completely.
Right, right. And Chinese lanterns tend to have, I think, usually about 15 minutes before they end up burning out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, these were hanging about. Well, we don't know how long they were there before we turned up, but they were there. Funnily enough, my dad, he's retired now, but he has like a morning paper round in a car that he just delivers to the countryside. And I think it was last year he managed to photograph the same thing that I saw. The three lights in the sky, amber color. I believe I sent them to you, actually. He managed to photograph them. So basically what my dad saw last year was exactly the same thing that we saw in 2009.
Interesting. If you're still able to find that in the video, did you say it was on your hard drive?
Yeah, it's on an old laptop somewhere. I think it just got too slow and I just stopped using it. But yeah, it's on there somewhere. I'll have to dig it out and send it to you. But it was an old camera phone, so it's not the best quality, but you'll get the idea. You can clearly still see it's not something you'd normally see on a daily basis. Yeah, I think for me, the sound in the video, if I remember rightly, it sounds like a ball of fire, which, you know, for me says that, yeah, maybe it is some sort of weather phenomenon. You know, I'm kind of open to that. I'm not straight away saying it's, you know, a UAP or such, but it was just odd. It's not something I'd seen before. So thankfully managed to get it on camera. But I will try and dig it out for you, Nick. And if I find it, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, that will be great. And you're absolutely right. You know, you should always look for, you know, logical explanations before we start diving straight in. Because, you know, it does happen. We make mistakes and we see things at different angles under different light conditions that seem to be something other than they are. But there's a lot of things happening in our skies, which we have no explanation for.
Yeah, very, very odd. I did actually message the local paper regarding the three lights that we saw in the sky, and a lady rang me up and asked me the question, so, do you want to talk about your story? And which was quite nice to hear, because it just makes it, I don't know, obviously there's a part of me is like, oh, okay, you're gonna make this look really silly and make me look stupid. They asked for pictures. I said no pictures, just you can have my name. But the story was posted in the, I believe it was Kent Messenger. But yeah, but then I instantly got ridiculed from my work friends when they found out. But yeah, so it might not have been a great idea.
So yeah, sometimes the local papers tend to be better. It's the more tabloidy ones which end up making you look a bit of a fool, which have you stood there pointing up into the sky. But it can be good. I mean, obviously, you know, if your co-workers and that find out, you know, if they're not really interested in the subject, you know, they can do a bit of ridiculing. But the good thing is, if people get these accounts into the papers, then more people may come forward and say, yeah, I also saw that too.
Yeah, so yeah, that was they're my main events. I hope that wasn't too bland. Yeah, that's my story. I'm sure other people have probably had the same thing. I haven't spoken about it the same as maybe I haven't, but yeah, thank you for giving me the time to talk about it.
No problem. And you know, I like hearing about the ghostly monks, you know, especially in the UK. There are a lot of accounts all around the country. I remember one, I'm not sure if it was probably in central England, there was a report of a ghostly monk that was seen, and it was near an old monastery, and he'd be seen regular. It'd be a regular thing, and it was known as an accident black spot there, because the amount of people which would see something and then swerve and have an accident. The UK has a lot of history, so these figures do get seen.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it now. I know there must be something, because along that stretch of road, there's like an old stone wall. Generally, anything that's surrounded by that, it's something important, you know. So I don't know. I'll have to look in to see what it is. I mean, that may be a monastery. I'm not sure. I'm not not entirely sure, but I'll have to look into that. I've not really done that, but yeah, might be a thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you might dig up a little bit of history about it. You may find that if it's not there anymore, there may have been a monastery there in the past. I mean, the chance of someone dressed up as a monk by the side of the road, maybe if it was like Halloween or something like that, but...
Yeah, it's just one of them things. You just kind of like think, you have to kind of like think about what the you know, you're trying to find a logical explanation for it, and I think that is the only thing I could come up with. As crazy as that sounds, but yeah, I don't know. There are people out there that do that, but yeah, well, I don't know, but they're crazy enough to do that. I'm not sure, but yeah, it was. I know what I saw. It was very odd, and it's still ingrained in my memory. I can still see it now. It's weird.
That's wonderful, Darren. Good stuff.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for your time, Nick, and thank you very much for doing what you're doing. It's a great listen.
It's an absolute pleasure. Darren, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
No worries. No problem. I've enjoyed it. Hopefully it wasn't too bland, and hopefully someone else might listen and think, oh, you know, I've seen that, and do the same and share the story.
I say to people, it doesn't make a difference whether it's just lights in the sky or you vanish for 5 days. You know, it's all important, Darren.
Definitely.
You enjoy the rest of your day. You're off to work soon, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Okay. Well, don't work too hard.
I won't.
Keep in contact, and I'll talk to you soon.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Dick.
You're welcome. Thank you, Darren.
See you soon.
Hello, Dante. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
It's great to have you join us today, and you're calling from Oklahoma.
Yes, Tulsa, Oklahoma, middle of America.
Middle of America, that's the northeast, is that right? Northeast of Oklahoma?
Yes, it is. It's a great place to live. It's a small city, a little under a million people, so it's got things to do, but not too much traffic, so it's very nice.
Shout out to our listeners in Oklahoma. I know we do have a few, actually, so wonderful. Okay, now, in 2020, you witnessed a UFO for the first time. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Yeah, it started before that, probably in 2016, 2015, somewhere in there. I was doing a podcast with some friends that was a conspiracy theory kind of podcast. And so we were talking about all kinds of different things. And at that point, I honestly had never even considered the idea of UFOs or anything like that. It was so foreign to me. I just didn't even think about it. It wasn't on my radar at all. And in the podcast, we were talking and everyone was talking about their favorite. There's like several guests talking about their favorite conspiracies. And one of my friends, who's named Nick as well, said he happened to be from Roswell. And he said, Roswell, 1947. And I honestly thought it was the stupidest thing that I'd ever heard. I thought, are you kidding? You think that UFOs is like, that's a thing? And he was adamant. He's like, oh, yeah, look into it. It's pretty strange, you know, if you actually look into it. So I took that and I actually started to look into it. And I kind of went through a progression of thinking it's completely stupid to realizing there's a lot of legitimate people, serious, sober-minded people that have claims to have seen UFOs, not saying, you know, I know what it was or anything, but realizing, okay, there's something going on. I don't know exactly what it is. And then I kind of looked into it for quite a long time and eventually came to the determination in my mind that it was obviously like military black ops and like some sort of some sort of classified aerospace or military program that we didn't know about. And I admitted, oh, yes, I'm sure that people have seen things, but the idea that it's alien or, you know, not us, I didn't really give that much thought. I just thought, well, that's kind of silly. And then in 2020, I actually saw a UFO for myself. And just seeing a UFO is, you know, by that, I just mean light in the sky behaving in ways that I can't explain. So I'm not claiming that I've seen little green men get out of a ship or, you know, anything like that. But the context of when and where it happened is what made me really stop and think about, like, something is going on. Because, and I know it seems odd to explain this to people that didn't experience it, because on the surface level, if I said, you know, oh, I saw strange lights in the sky. You think, well, that's okay. I what does that really mean? I don't know. But at the time when I actually saw them, that's what I was standing in front of my house with a friend, and that's what we were talking about. So it was, I had had through my looking into this, I had met several people who had told me they had seen UFOs. One in particular who had seen very up close, like a flying saucer specifically. And so at the time, I was telling my friend, it's nighttime and we're standing outside. I looked up at the sky and said out loud, you know, why do these people get to see a UFO and I don't? Like, I'd love to see a UFO, or I want to see a UFO. And then it was right at that moment that I looked up over my friend's shoulders and I saw these strange lights in the sky moving very strange. And that context really hit me because it was just, it was too, you know, like they say, the simulation glitch or whatever, where you think that's a little on the nose. That the moment we're talking, I explained it to my wife like this, Nick. I said, it'd be like if you said to me, I've never seen a hot air balloon. That'd be cool if I saw one. And then you looked up in the sky and you said, oh my God, there's a hot air balloon right there. And so it was a little bit, that was phase one. That was kind of like, okay, that's odd. And that was enough to get my attention to think, it's strange. I still don't know what's going on, but that's strange. But then it was in two nights later, I went to my back porch and I thought, I'm going to go out there and see if I can see this again. And I went out on my back porch and I was sitting there for 30 minutes and I could see what was in the sky. I could see Jupiter. I could see Saturn. I could see a few other stars, but I knew what was there. I knew exactly what I was looking at. And then my newborn son started to cry. So I went back inside and I got my newborn son and I came back out. I was only gone for maybe 10 to 15 seconds. And when I came back out, this light that had appeared the night before was all of a sudden right back in the same spot, you know, right in the middle of the sky. And I almost fell over, just dumbfounded, thinking, because I knew what I had just been looking at. I knew that that was not there. And it looked like a star. It wasn't moving. It just looked like a star, stationary in the sky, not doing anything. And it's almost, I'm sure some of your guests have explained something like this, but it's hard to even, like, you feel like you're maybe hallucinating, and you almost kind of think for a minute, like, you know, am I crazy? Or that wasn't there a second ago. I swear it wasn't. And then with that one in particular, as I was looking at it, it definitely was not a star. It started to spin and then it shot off across the horizon, like as fast as a bullet. And so I still maintain that I don't know what that was. I don't know if it was, I still don't know if it was military tech. I don't know. I mean, I just think the gut feeling that I had and what I told my friend on the first night was, my first reaction was, oh my God, can they hear us? Like, are they listening to this conversation? And then after the second one, it was like, okay, again, that's a little strange that it would happen right when I was looking for it. You know what I mean?
It's like a reoccurring theme where someone would be talking about something UFO related and they'd look up and sure enough, it'd be there. It is the strangest thing. And a lot of times I hear about that.
Yeah. And I get it. Like, it's anecdotal. It's just like the odds of it are, well, I don't know. I mean, somebody had to see it. And I happened to see it right then. And I don't know how much more I could read into it, I guess, except that very odd that it happened when it happened, you know, that you're like, we're talking about, you know, that subject. And then right then, it, you know, and, you know, I've had other, you know, there's people have other experiences that they, you know, the coincidence, you know, the idea of like, maybe you're talking about somebody you haven't spoken to in a long time, and then they call you on the phone that day. And you think, well, that's odd. You just happened to call on the day I was thinking about you or something. A synchronicity, I guess, is what like Jung would call it. But for me, it was really, I still don't know what it was, I guess is what I'd say. I'm not going to say, pretend like I know something that I don't know. I do know that it would be really strange if it was, you know, military, some sort of military operation that just happened to be over my house. You know what I mean?
You didn't have an interest or a belief in this subject before your sightings.
I thought it was stupid, to be honest. I thought that's just kind of silly. And, you know, now Well, I guess it opened me up to the idea that I think if you haven't experienced something like that and you hear, like I had a chance to correspond with a woman named Selma Siddick. I don't know if you know who that is or not, but she was a student in Zimbabwe at aerial school and was one of the witnesses of the aerial UFO incident. You know, just listening to her story, I do think that she gives a very sober, very just matter-of-fact explanation of what happened and what she remembers. And I think any reasonable person would listen to her. And I think you wouldn't, she does not sound like a crazy person. I think she's an attorney, actually. But I guess since what I saw, I just give her a lot, I'm more open to some of these people and their stories and saying, I think I might have used to be in a position where I thought, well, that's pretty silly. And now I look at it and I think, no, I think that people are telling the truth. Not all of them, obviously. There's a lot of people that I think are delusional or mentally ill. But there's a lot of people that are just normal people who have seen something very strange that it seems like all the way up the chain of our government, especially in America, in our U.S. government, they don't know what it is, even, you know, as much as presidents, former presidents speaking about it and candidly saying, yeah, there's things in our sky that we don't know what they are. And for me, it was more like I guess it was almost a change in my understanding of fundamental reality to say, we don't know exactly what's going on. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but the idea that we understand all of reality and it's in its entirety, I think for me anyway, I realize from my experience, that's not even close to true. I think there's so much that we don't understand. It's hard to even comprehend. So yeah, it kind of led me down a path to, I'm a musician and an artist. So usually whatever I'm kind of obsessed about, that's what I end up writing and composing about. I mean, for instance, when I was younger, I had tragically had a friend commit suicide, and my kind of gut reaction to that was to write a song for her, and because that was just heavy on my heart and my mind, and it really helped me process that grief from that experience. And in the same way, I was very shocked from what I saw, and actually, I've seen other UFOs too since then. I think I'm up to 6 now, and I maintain they're not saying flying saucers with little green men. For me, it's been lights in the sky that I can't identify. Lights appearing and disappearing, moving in very strange ways that, as far as I know, I don't know anything that can do that. I don't know anything that can maneuver in these ways that is like a traditional aircraft. But it fascinated me, and it made me, I guess, whatever I get obsessed with, I'm going to turn it into music. And so that's what I did with both my story and several other famous UFO stories through history. The first one being the Ballad of Betty and Barney Hill that I wrote about the Betty and Barney Hill UFO encounter from the 1960s. So,
well, let's play one now. Okay, so this is I Want to Believe by Dante and the Bird Dogs.
And this one is about my experience. So this is what I wrote right after I saw a UFO for the first time.
Wonderful. Okay, let's have a listen.
Say intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
That sounds great.
Thank you. I think it's the best song I've ever written. I think it's, I know I'm biased because
of course.
It's mine, but I really do think, I think it's got a level, because, you know, it's a song about seeing a UFO, but it's also a song about a husband and a wife and, you know, just wanting to, just telling that person that you love, you know, just tell me that you believe me and everything will be okay. You know what I mean? Like, even if I understand from my perspective, maybe I'm crazy and maybe what I'm saying isn't true, but sometimes you just need to be reassured that everything's going to be okay. And I wasn't traumatized by seeing a UFO, but I was for a while. I didn't talk about it for a while because you do think, well, people are going to think I'm crazy. And even when I tried to explain it to people, I kept finding myself saying the same thing. Like, I'm not crazy. I swear I'm not crazy, but this thing happened over my house the other night. And I guess now, once I decided that I was going to put the song out, I just thought, okay, well, now I don't care if people know. So the freedom of just being myself at this point.
Yeah, that is important. One of the common things I get when someone first emails me, it will start off saying, you're going to think I'm crazy. Or, I don't drink, I don't take drugs. But that's why I get, you're going to think I'm crazy. And the thing with these experiences are that a lot of people keep them inside. I've had guests on here that have had experiences from the 50s, 60s, and they've never told a soul. And then we have the people, and there's listeners that can relate to this out there. They've had an experience. They've gone to a close friend or a husband or a wife, and they acknowledge it, but they don't believe it. They say things like, I believe you believe it. But, you know, when you have a partner, it's, of course, it's important for them to understand. They're not always going to believe if they haven't sinned. But when you're telling a close partner and they kind of shrug you off, that can be very difficult. And I've had guests on which have told a partner and have just completely shrugged off. And I know it can be very difficult.
I've had that conversation with lots of people that I would say most people who have not seen a UFO, they'll listen to you and respect your experience and respect that, like you said, I believe that you believe it, but they don't actually take it terribly seriously because, I mean, if they did take it terribly seriously, they'd probably freak out a little bit, but I think it's natural. It's like seeing is believing for a lot of people. And if they had seen what I had seen, they would take it more seriously. And likewise, because I've started to put this music out, I have fans of the music, but they're also fans of UFOs. And I have other experiencers that like when I meet an experiencer who's at a show or who finds my music, we immediately connect. There's like so it's weird, but it's like, we're immediately like best friends. we're like, you get it. I get it. We know something's going on and the rest of the world thinks we're crazy, but we're not, you know, we know what we saw and that's kind of fun. It's kind of a nice trade-off to the people thinking I'm crazy.
It's a connection, isn't it? You know, and yours is through music and it's great. Your second, your second song, The Ballad of Betty and Barney Hill. Now we're played at the end of the show. So to our listeners, don't go anywhere at the end, but also I'll put links to Dante and the Bird Dogs. How many members are there?
It's an 8-piece band when we're all there. It's a lot to keep track of, but we play smaller shows when it's necessary. But yeah, when everyone's there, it's an incredible band. I'm the weakest link in the band, to be honest. The musicians that are playing in it are all veteran country music players. And also about half of them are also obsessed with UFOs. Strangely, that's kind of what drew them to the band. Because when I told them the subject, a couple of the guys I had just hired as session players, and they came into the studio, recorded on these songs, and they were so blown away with just the concept of the band that they were, they both were like, you know, the two guys in particular were like, I want in on this. So I said, all right, you're in the band, you know, it's cool. They're fans of the music, but they're also fans of this subject, and for different reasons, but some of them, they've just researched it and find it interesting. And some of them, like me, they've seen things that are kind of hard to explain. So
again, a good thing has come out of your experience. You know, this wouldn't have happened. The music wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for this, you know, this account. So that's great. So I'll make all the links available. You got a website?
Yeah, DanteAndTheBirdDogs.com. Or you could just look us up on Facebook and Instagram or YouTube. And we have the music video for Betty and Barney Hill is out now, and we're going to release the music video for I Want to Believe in probably about a month. And then we're going back into the studio midsummer, and maybe 6 months from now, look at releasing a full album.
Wonderful. So really, by the time this airs, that should all be released. So what I'll do is I put all the information below and the videos so people can hit here on this episode, but then go and check you out. And if they're local, you know, maybe come and pop in and see you.
Anytime. No, yeah. It's there's a lot of UFO people in Tulsa. I know that. So come out to a show and see us. But if not, just, yeah, keeping in touch on Twitter and Facebook, and let us know. We'll keep putting content out there. And I have a lot of other songs that I want to put out that are about other famous UFO incidents. One of them in particular is called Take Me With You. And it's about the Phoenix Lights incident. And it's probably one of my favorites that I've ever written. And that one will be really nice to get out. I think people are going to love it.
Great stuff. So as you release these, I'll keep on adding them to the webpage that accompanies this episode, so people can revisit and see what else you've done. Wonderful, the Phoenix Lights. Great stuff.
Awesome.
After your sighting in 2020, you continued having sightings in the days,
yeah,
and the months after.
I would say I've seen three others during the day that they're too far away. It could have been an airplane. it was just like a thin metal object that disappeared pretty quickly. I wouldn't say, I mean, I'm on the fence about whether that was a UFO. It wasn't so obvious, but there was one on Halloween of 2021, again, standing in front of my house. Kids were trick-or-treating, running around the neighborhood, everywhere, it was chaos. And I looked up in the sky, and directly over my house, all of a sudden, three stars appeared in a perfect triangle. Like they weren't there. And then I saw them like fade in to where I could see them, which was strange. And I was, again, a little bit shocked, like what could be going on? And I was about to call my neighbor over to have him look at it and say, hey, so I only saw it for about 30 seconds. And then they started to spin, and then they just faded away and disappeared. Again, I don't know what that is, except I don't think it was a drone. You know, it was very high in the sky. It looked like stars. They looked like stars that appeared, and then they kind of spun, and then they disappeared. If there's somebody at NASA out there that can explain to me exactly what that is, great. Maybe I'm just an idiot. But I've never seen anything like that in the sky. I mean, I'm a Boy Scout. I grew up in the country. I grew up looking at the sky. I'm pretty familiar with what things look like at night in the sky. And I don't know what that was, except it seemed to be some sort of craft of some kind that was over my house. So
great stuff. Now, the other members of your band had experience themselves, or is it just like a raw interest for them?
Well, no, I don't know if anybody has had an experience. I would say, I think I'm the only one that's seen a UFO, but my buddy who plays steel, I don't think he's seen a UFO. He actually was talking about it quite a bit, but he played on a record. I don't know if you'd be familiar, but there's a country artist in America named Jason Bolan, and he has a band called Jason Bolan and the Stragglers, and they're pretty famous. They did a record recently with Shooter Jennings, who is a famous country artist. And so my buddy Roger, he went out to LA to track on that record. And that record, similarly, which maybe you should reach out to Jason Bolan, but he, that's what the record was all about. He and Shooter Jennings were just obsessed with UFOs, but my buddy Roger wasn't. He thought it was stupid and he didn't know anything about it. And so, but the whole time they're making this record about, you know, country UFO songs, Roger came back to Tulsa afterwards. And shortly after that, he started looking into UFOs and was like me, kind of like, what, you know, something's going on here. This is very strange. But he was kind of, I think, afraid to say anything about it for the same stigma reasons, thinking, you know, he has a real job and he's, you know, he's a serious person. But I think in some ways, I think working with me or being associated with me kind of helped him to be more comfortable with just, you know, going there and being okay with talking about it. And we have a group of friends who are some of them experiencers, some of them not. Actually, I had never thought of myself as an experiencer. I would tell people what happened to me. And one night we were playing a gig somewhere and Roger and I were talking about it. And he was the one that pointed out, he said, because I think I was saying the same thing. Like I was like, I know I sound crazy, but I swear I'm not. He was the one that said, no, you're an experiencer. And I'd really never thought of myself as that. I thought, no, I've just seen UFOs. And then he said, no, you've experienced UFOs and it's affected you. And then I thought about it and he was right. It had affected me. It changed my entire worldview in some way. I mean, I think for me, it was a very profound realization that for some reason, I don't know why, I know it sounds narcissistic, but I feel like because of the context, it was almost like if it wasn't UFOs, if you were just going to say from like a Christian perspective, it was God or something, it was, wow, the universe actually cares about me. Like God winked at me or something. And then you could say it in a way of like, wow, somebody from somewhere else flashed their headlights at me or something like that. I don't know, except it gives you, for me, it was a sense of, oh, reality is a lot more interesting than we think it is. And for some reason, maybe these songs or what I'm doing is important. I don't know why. I mean, but that's the feeling that I got from it, which is, I guess, what encouraged me to write the songs and to produce the music and just do it kind of for no other reason. Like I don't have a record label. I'm, you know, doing it all on my own. And I really did it from a place of just honesty and saying, I feel like for some reason people, I would, you know, I don't know what to call exactly that, but you call it God, you could call it the universe, you call it whatever you want. But I feel like I'm supposed to do this for some reason. And even since then, it's been pretty amazing. Like Kathleen Martin is Betty Hill's niece. A fan texted her the song after it came out. And she, and my number, and she was texting me and telling me that she loved the song. And I'm sitting here looking at this phone and I'm like, I cannot believe that Kathleen is texting me about her aunt. And then on Twitter, Betty and Barney Hill's granddaughter, Angela Hill, who's a UFC fighter now, she retweeted the song and was, you know, said something about it. And I thought the same thing. I just thought, well, that's so strange. You know, I've not had any commercial success with this yet, but you know, I'm trying to get a hold of Barack Obama because I don't know if you heard he's making a movie about it. So I was like, oh my gosh, who knows where it all lands? I don't know. It's my job just to make the song and do what I think for whatever reason I'm here to do. And hopefully it connects with people and they like it. And it's already connected with, like I said, like Kathleen, just this, for her to hear a song about her aunt. I think it meant a lot to her and she really enjoyed it. And that's cool. I think it's worth my time anyway.
Yeah, that is wonderful. She's a wonderful lady. And you're right, you know, there is still stigma with this subject, but it is lifting. A lot more people are coming out, not just to me, but, you know, they're coming out and they're saying what happened to them. You know, they're telling people their experiences. Obviously, the things that have happened with the US military over the last few years has helped. You know, it's brought the subject onto the tables of more serious-minded people. But the fact that it's always been, these sightings have happened to people all over the world of different backgrounds, different religious education. But now it is starting to come a little bit more acceptable to talk about these things. There is still that stigma that hasn't left yet, but it is getting better. By people coming together and, you know, writing songs like this, it's then connecting people. It's bringing people together which would probably never have met, you know, so it's taking you down a different path near enough.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what I hope for the songs. I mean, I think I didn't realize when I started doing it that it was kind of, I know that other people have had written songs about UFOs, but I joke with my band because I do think that these songs are really, really good. I mean, just being honest, and I think it's the best thing I've ever done. And I joked that with Betty and Barney Hill, I would say, this is the best alien abduction song ever written. And then they would laugh and I'd say, but it really is kind of the best alien abduction song ever written. And, you know, I just think, well, why not? Why wouldn't, you know, maybe it's this new thing where we can, you know, you have documentaries and films and books about the subject. And now I'm trying to create maybe a genre of music that is a focus on aliens and UFOs and paranormal subject matter.
And of course, the whole subject matter excites me, but not just that. I love music. You know, I listen to all types of music from different eras. You sound great. So it's, you know, a lot of people, even if you have no interest in the subject, have a listen, you know, because it's great.
Say that, that is my hope. That's when we compose the songs that I wanted them to be songs that even if people weren't interested in the subject, they would still like the music. So it had to be good music first. And then I'd like it to kind of catch people by surprise, you know, where they're listening to the song and enjoying it and almost thinking, oh, this is so sweet, or this is interesting. And then almost get halfway through and go, did he just say flying saucer? Like, and almost kind of do a double take, like, what is this song about? So if it creates that response, I feel like that's a success.
And then it makes people curious, doesn't it? Because there's been a lot of bands in the past which have written about, you know, their experiences. It's not always evident, but they have done, many artists over the years, you know, have released tracks about their encounters.
Yeah. And I think, you know, anecdotally, I've kind of been doing what you're doing just on my own. When I interview people a lot of times for video production work with my company. And after I saw a UFO for the first time, I started asking people when I would meet a new person, which I could ask you this, Nick. When I'm meeting somebody that I don't know and I've never had a conversation with them, instead of asking them like, oh, what do you do for a living or where are you from? I would ask them two questions. I'd say, have you ever seen a UFO or have you ever seen a ghost? And I would say from my experience, you know, randomly asking people that question, at least half of the people I ask that, they have an incredible story. Usually people you would not expect, you know, doctors, lawyers, engineers, people that, you know, almost are embarrassed to tell you. But then if you ask them and you kind of do it in the right way, they'll say, well, actually, when I was a kid, I saw this. And some of them will tell me insane stories that I'm sure you hear all the time on your show. But have you found about that same, you know, you're kind of doing the same thing, like 50-60% of the people you encounter have some sort of story?
It's extremely high. You know, before I had the show, I would do the same thing. You know, I'd incorporate into the conversation somehow. Since I've had the show, obviously, naturally, people say, oh, you know, what, you bit of barbecue maybe? And someone will say,
yeah, they look for you.
You know, what do you do? And then I'll tell them what I do. And they go, really? That's fascinating. And then they will tell me what they experienced. If they hadn't experienced, it would have been a family member or a friend, grandfather, you know, there'd be, there'd always be something there. And you're right, 60, 70% of the time, I would get that. And then that person would then go tell their friend that would be over in the corner. They'd come over and tell me their account. So it's constant. Every time I go out and I'm socializing in some way, I'm doing what I'm doing now, you know, which is great.
Isn't that a more interesting way to live?
It is, yeah.
Well, and I just mean, too, realizing that there are all these stories out there and that, you know, I think that if you took the time to speak to almost anyone and really listen and ask them about their life, they would tell you an incredible story. It might involve something like UFOs or paranormal, whatever. But even just family stories or something, like people are fascinating, and humans we're fascinating creatures with, you know, if we take the time, you can hear some pretty incredible things.
I mean, that's one of the reasons I don't bother going the same old, you know, all the famous stories, because the other radio shows and other podcasts are doing that already. There are so many fascinating accounts out there that people have. So I kind of just want to bring them forward. I get contacted by other podcasts, usually newer shows which are starting out. They want to do the same thing I'm doing. They want to make a show with people's accounts, which I think is wonderful, right? Because number one, I don't look at it as competition. I look at it as if I will never get everyone on this show. It'd be impossible. So the more shows there are out there that are sharing these accounts, the better. So that's the way I look at it.
You know, inevitably a percentage of them might be full of it, and then a percentage of them might not be, you know? It's kind of like, you know, even if a small percentage of these stories are true, oh my God, like some of the things that people have experienced are, I think back to that idea of like, I don't think we understand reality very well. I think we like to pretend that we do, but I don't think that we're, I think we understand reality enough to survive. And I think there's a lot going on in reality that we're still just figuring out. And I find that fascinating. I find a certain amount of creative wonder and awe in waking up each day and, you know, being able to experience this life, because it's almost like an incredible mystery, you know, and maybe we'll get to figure out some of it. Who knows?
Yeah, hopefully. And people can be very complex. Not everything is always going to be as someone says, you know, the people are out there. Yeah. All it takes is just for one of these accounts to be true. Just one account. But you're always going to get the ones, you know, which are full of it. You know, that does happen. Can't deny that. But one thing I've noticed, a lot of the guests I have on here are just everyday people, usually don't have an interest in the subject. You know, they just want to come on, get it off their chest, you know, and then move on with their life.
You're like a therapist, kind of. A UFO therapist.
You'll be surprised. I don't just do UFOs. We talk, you know, usually off air, I talk about people, talk with people, and, you know, they talk about certain traumas that they have in their life. And because people listen to me every week, they know me, they can connect with me. So they are more open, especially off air, you know, when it's non UFO and paranormal related. So I do have, I have many long, long conversations with people off air, you know, which is great.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is. So I don't look at this show as entertainment. I've said this before. I don't look at it as entertainment. I look at it more as like a digital campfire where people can come on and share their accounts. And then in turn, people listening, they can then relate. Okay. And then it might help them to accept the things that have happened to them. And so it can, you know, it can be liberating for the guest as well as the listener. So I don't know, like a big, big forum, I guess.
So much of the UFO phenomenon that like is coming out more recently, that I think the big picture idea that people are missing, like when the Tic Tac incident happened with David Fravor, which we wrote a song about called Fravor's Stand, that's going to come out later. But the big takeaway from that story is not UFOs. The takeaway is physics isn't physics as we understand it. You know what I mean? Like the takeaway is what we think is physics is at the very least not complete. But, you know, maybe very incorrect. You know what I mean? Like, that's profound. Like, that should be the thing that people, maybe physics isn't, maybe our understanding of physics is very primitive, actually, you know?
I think so. I think it is. That's why I don't discount some of the very, very strange things that have happened to my guests on here, because we simply don't know. And the thing with science is it's forever changing and you're forever learning.
Yep. You know, Dr. Jack Sarfati?
Yeah. So he was the guy that Back to the Future was based on. He was Doc Brown.
Yes. Have you had him on your show?
No, I've never had him on his show. No, I talk to him now and again on Twitter. So yeah, I know that. I know him.
So he said something that I thought was really interesting. This is a year or two ago, but that's another idea, like the physics not being physics. I don't know if he's correct about, you know, what he thinks is going on. He's pretty adamant about that he knows what's going on. But he did say something really interesting about the physics of it, because he was saying that all these physicists have it wrong because they're assuming that these equations are going to require a massive amount of energy for something to perform this way. But he was just from looking at or experiencing or looking at some of these experiences, he was saying, you know, in his case, I think it didn't make a sound. And in the case of many of these other experiencers, they don't make a sound. I thought it was amazing because he said, well, I know they're not using a lot of energy then, because when we, you know, expel a lot of energy, it makes a lot of noise. That's a jet engine that you hear it from miles away. If something is being, you know, some propulsion system is working and it doesn't make a sound, the one thing you could infer from that is it probably is not using much energy. I thought that was really, I don't know how I was relating that, except that that's another example of like the takeaway is we don't understand physics.
We don't understand. No. And what we know about propulsion, you know, in our crude primitive form, definitely not what they use. They obviously use something which is stable to a degree. And will be prolonged. The energy will prolong and probably reduplicate itself, maybe. But a lot of the time, there is simply no sound. So that is, again, something we just don't understand, because the propulsions and the energy we use today is noisy.
Yeah, and inevitably, it's, well, what's it going to look like a million years from now? You know, we think we understand. We do have an understanding of physics to a degree, but I mean, God, we've only been like a stable, you know, species for a very short amount of time. Give us even 10,000 years. What's that going to look like? So it's exciting. Jack Sarfati would say they're coming back from the future. So maybe.
Yeah, he would do indeed. Yeah, he has commented on several of my tweets about things related to that. But and also the side of consciousness as well. We know there's a definite connection with the you know, this whole subject and the paranormal. We know it's all connected. There is definitely a connection between the UFOs and our consciousness. You know, they're interacting in ways we don't understand. This is why things, when it comes to UFOs and these objects, they are not simply the nuts and bolts, you know, something you hear all the time, nuts and bolts. You know, you have to remain on both ends of the field, both ends of the spectrum, because there is so much we don't know. These things do happen, and there's a lot of time there's no explanation for. Forget about, you know, people seeing, you know, clouds and satellites, all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about this small, I say small, they say 5%. I think it's a little bit higher than that, because there's a lot of these accounts we haven't heard, but these things do happen, and there's so much to learn. So hopefully when people share their accounts, we can get little pieces of the puzzle. And it's a big puzzle, mind, big puzzle, and not always the pieces don't fit in. We've got to keep on turning them around but hopefully, you know, we can always pick up connections and hopefully get some answers. Maybe in the future we will.
Well, it's an exciting time to be alive, and I'm grateful for the timing to do something creative with a subject that I never in a million years would have thought I would even be interested in, let alone obsessed about. And it's fair to say I'm obsessed with UFOs, and anyone that knows me knows that I pretty much get right to it and ask them those questions. And I don't know. I think in the next 10 years or so, I think we're going to see a lot of interesting things happen, and hopefully it'll be something that's really profound and amazing. So I'm optimistic.
I agree. We're on the cusp, and of course, it's a healthy obsession. Yeah, that's all. It's always good. Dante, it's been wonderful talking to you today. To our listeners, don't go nowhere, because we're going to play the Ballad of Betty and Barney Hill. And again, all your links are going to be available in the description below, so people can go check you out. And again, if they're local, they come and pop and see you play live.
Awesome, Nick. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to chat with you, and thank you for taking the time to listen to my story.
No problem.
Well, I love your format. It's a great format. I just love it because, like I said, I do it on my own. I ask people all the. I'm fascinated to hear people's stories, even if I have no idea who they are or where they're from. So I think it's a great show. Keep it up.
Thanks, man. Dante, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Absolutely, Nick. It's a pleasure. Hopefully, some other day we'll chat again.
Yeah, no worries, man. It's great speaking to you, all right?
You too. All right, take care, Nick.
Okay, take care, brother.
Bye.
But I'll take my gun just in case. me, we better get out. Oh, but try as I might, I can't get up and go. Oh, Betty, my darling, what now? Betty, won't you tell me what's wrong, my dear? Why do I feel like my mind is gone? Oh, the lights down the White Mountain Range, I fear they're never gonna leave us alone. It all seemed like some strange kind of dream. But my boots are scuffed up and your poor dress is torn. Oh, and how could we dream the same thing? Ever understand when the lights down the White Mountain Range appeared, I was never gonna be the same man.
That was the ballad of Betty and Barney Hill by Dante and the Bird Dogs. Well, that is it for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Darren and Dante for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.